Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, and yes, you would be with Paul Strolley, excepting that he is in the lovely, windy city, Chicago.
Which is where I like to keep it. That's the only way I get work in this town, man.
Nah, that's not true. You work all the time. Yes, you do.
How are you, Andrew? I'm doing good. I'm Andrew James, sitting in for Paul today and trying to fill his chair. Michael, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you.
Good.
Got a lot of stuff happening on this show today,
so
why don't we get down to it? I think we should start by thanking our sponsors.
Sponsors who pay our bills.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
We are indeed. And as we discussed recently, Andrew, we ended 2015 and transitioned into 2016 with such wonderful theater coming through Los Angeles from the LA premieres of If Then at the Pantages and the Bridges of Madison County at the Amundsen. And as we continue to move into the year, the trend continues also at the beautiful Cher Forum located within the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza.
One of my favorite theaters, and I couldn't agree with you more, Michael. If you're a fan of comedic lyricist art, the provision of the perfect rhyme, the acknowledgement of alternative pleasures, the coupling of deliciously contrasting notions, the matching of rhetorical form to musical function, then there is no better show to ponder than Stephen Sondheim's A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, which is being presented by Cabrillo Music Theater at the Scheer Forum January 29th through Valentine's Day, February 14th.
Absolutely. An all-new production of Forum, which I personally think, out of all of the great Sondheim musicals, Forum has the lyrics with the most oomph, you know? Mostly because they are so much better than they even need to be. And aren't we charmed today to have with us in studio two of the show's stars who are always full of oomph themselves because they are just those kind of guys.
Could you ask them to tone that oomph down a little bit? It's kind of getting in my way here, man.
Let's say hello to Broadway stars and funnymen Nick Santa Maria and Larry Rabin.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Hello.
Sit down.
Does that happen everywhere you go? That's so strange. They just jumped out of nowhere.
It's very exciting.
It was.
Oh, boy.
And by the way, oomph is the sound I make getting out of a chair.
Yes. we'll be on the watch out for that.
Yeah.
Andrew, before we speak to the boys, how are you? We haven't seen each other in a week. What's been going on?
I'm well, sir. It's been a bit of a crazy week. Yeah. Of course, all the settling down from the holidays, and I'm directing Dark Heart of Poe up at the Simi Valley Cultural
Arts
Center.
That's right.
So we've been heavy rehearsals for that. But more importantly, I had a chance, under your kind hospitality, to go see That Love and Feeling.
At the group repertory.
I did. Thank you for setting that up. Yeah. I was there and actually took a friend from Dark Heart of Poe, and we sat and enjoyed the show. So how was your week? Did you have a good week?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, busy with LA's Next Great Stage Star. Just finished week three of the six-week run, so we're very excited about that. And the Princess Cruises folks who were at the theater this past week taking a look at it for their first time, since they are the title sponsor, first time in person coming. And
that was the first time they'd been there to see the process.
The hierarchy of Princess.
Wow.
was there. So it was lovely. And the kids are amazing this year and very diverse, and as they always are. Larry Rabin is one of the judges at this competition every year, so he knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that later. But I, too, of course, saw That Love and Feeling, so I want to talk about that with you. And this, of course, is the music of the Righteous Brothers, which is being presented by Group Repertory Company at the Lonnie Chapman Theater. It has been so, so very successful that it has been extended twice and is now going through the 24th, excuse me, I may be even giving the wrong date here on the most recent extension. I think it's going into February.
I think it's going through February 12th, as I believe.
I think you're right, Andrew.
But we should double check that. And it's easy to do by looking at their website as well.
Absolutely.
The group rep.
And I'd say that again for the
group rep.
Yes.
You can Google that at the Lonnie Chapman Theater. It comes up real quick.
What did
you think of the show, Michael?
You know what? First of all, the Righteous Brothers, I couldn't wait to hear all that music. And the story, which was taken from a book that was written by Bill Righteous, is you know, pretty darn interesting, that's for sure. I think that anybody that takes on that kind of a task is it's a Herculean task, first
Absolutely.
Of all, and especially with the you know, the sadness of one of the brothers who passes. Mm-hmm. And so everything is from the perspective of Bill Rogers. And that is, of course, this is adapted from that book.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a wonderful effort on part of the group rep to put this on in conjunction with Jules Aaron, who's directing it. I think that it's something that I enjoyed, but I think it's still a work in progress.
I
think the book itself is where the work actually needs to be.
I agree.
Most
if you enjoy the Righteous Brothers music, I think you're going to enjoy this show.
Yeah.
Sat there. The musical numbers are top notch. They did a heck of a job on those. I thought there were some great acting moments from Paul Caddy,
who plays Katie.
Mm-hmm. I thought he did some really great work. I thought some surprising, genuine feeling was added by Nicole Renee Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
She came on stage, lit up the stage, and did some really beautiful work. And I, of course, enjoyed seeing friend of the show's Morgan and Brenda.
Yes.
Up there. And I thought that
yes.
was interesting to watch how they crafted their relationship. I agree with you that the book could use a rewrite.
Right.
There seemed to be a lack in the things that people care about. The idea of these two homeboy white boys sitting there and seeing these black Marines singing and going, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to be a part of that. To me, that's one of the most compelling moments of the show. Why it wasn't put on stage, I found lacking. I wanted to see that. That was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need to hear as much about how one of the brothers couldn't find a girlfriend, that sort of thing. I wanted to be linked into their musical heritage and let the struggles around them kind of come up as it goes. One of the parts of that was the wife is introduced at one point. Both the wives are introduced at one point. And we get a snippet of them, and we find out about tragedies in their life. But there's no history to understand why we need to feel for that person. So you have a habit in our news-centric world of saying, yeah, bad things happen and writing it off. I wanted to see those people because the music that came from their lives meant so much to our society. So I thought it was
Absolutely.
A good show and enjoyable to watch.
Well, I think it's something, too, for this generation of young people who experience theater, that it's important for them to see that, and it's important for them to hear this music as well, because they might know a couple songs from that catalog, but they certainly don't know the history of that music. So you have your chance, ladies and gentlemen, to see this show, That Love and Feelin', the story of the Righteous Brothers, at the group, presented by the Group Repertory Company at the Delaunay Chapman Theater. And for tickets, simply go to their website at grouprepthéâtre.com. Is that correct?
Or, of course, you can call 818-763-5990. I got to tell you, Michael, I looked around, and every person in that audience was clapping and tapping their foot.
Oh, yeah.
That ending number got it just right for me. You ended with such a good feeling on that show when they come back with that amazing montage song. Goes to show how much the Righteous Brothers meant. And I thought it was a great job they did putting that show up.
Exactly. I agree completely.
We miss a lot in 99-seat theater in this world. There's not a lot of funding. And, man, to take on a portion of that, a project like that, and really do a good job with it, I thought it was a great undertaking.
I concur. All right. So shall we do this? You want to give our first guest his intro?
You want to talk to these guys?
I think so.
So are we speaking about great undertakings, one of my favorite shows? Let's introduce these guys here. Our first guest has appeared in every form of show business other than circus and ballet, which we're going to correct here on this show.
Yes.
He's done
TV. Let me adjust my tutu. There we go.
I have a 4-4, but I hear you.
Yeah.
He has done film, stand-up comedy, improv, cruise show, hundreds of voiceovers, and is one of the most prolific audiobook readers in the country. This is his fourth time playing Pseudolus in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Some of his favorite roles include Vince Fontaine in Tommy Toon's version of Grease, both on Broadway and the U.S. National Tour. Additionally, he has played almost every male role in Mel Brooks's The Producers. How many of the female roles?
12.
I love it. Once again, on Broadway and in two national tours, not to mention Tokyo and Las Vegas. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask that you please welcome Nick Santamaria.
Again with the applause.
God, I have a large family.
Yes, you do.
How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
I have one question for you right off the bat. Excuse me for interrupting you, Andrew. Did you and Larry meet in the Vegas production?
We actually met before that. We met on the national tour.
Oh, okay. Nice.
They
All
flew
right.
Larry in at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And
were his arms tired.
And his, yes. I keep thinking it was Atlanta, but I'm probably wrong.
Yeah.
But I saw him, and it was like love at first sight.
Yeah.
He's one of the funniest people on stage
no
today.
Kidding. Yeah.
In this time.
He's dull just, as can be off stage.
Off stage, I wouldn't touch him. But on stage, he is just...
But on stage, you'll
touch him? Hold on just a second.
Here. I'm touching him now. I'm touching him now.
Where are we going with this?
It's going to be a funny thing on the way to the forum today, isn't it?
My goodness. A share forum.
That's right. Yes. A great venue that you guys are working in. I told you off radio that we were doing a show there, Christmas Carol, earlier this year through many friends of Cabrillo. I love the Shear Forum. You cannot walk into that theater without getting yourself comfortable and just enjoying what you're going to see.
And it is a great comedy house.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now how many seats there? About 400?
400.
Yeah. 400. Which is perfect. Seats. I wish LA had more mid-sized houses.
Right.
400 is genius for comedy. And you feel the intimacy. You're not overwhelmed by being
in a barn
from the stage.
I agree.
Yeah.
Right?
You're in it, but you're with a big group of people, so you get that whole group sensation in a comedy, and it's great.
Absolutely. Good. How's the show been going? Have you missed me in the audience at all? I'm a great laugher.
Yeah. You'll make up for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it hasn't opened yet. We start tech on Saturday.
And I haven't been invited to a single rehearsal. A little bit insulting.
I'm inviting you for next Wednesday.
You be careful. I'm going to be there. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I personally have a relationship with this show, because it was one of the first shows that I ever got to see live, I laughed so hard leaving a funny thing that happened on the way to the forum. And, of course, I grew up playing football in a very Midwestern macho. It just drew me in, captured me, and I said, man, I want to make people laugh like that. So I think this is a great, great show you guys are putting up. I'm excited to see it.
It's also one that's not done as often others are done, but certainly one that should be seen by everybody.
Absolutely.
It is hilarious when you've got this kind of talent
but
Nick and Larry in this show.
Thank you, Michael. But you've also got Larry Gelbart and Bert Shevlov script,
which
is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Sondheim has the name, and you hear Sondheim all the time, and his work is brilliant. But this play, writing in this play, is so beautiful.
Smart comedy. Beats are so clear in it. Yeah. If you just read the script, if you didn't have any other comedy improv going on, it would still be hilarious.
It would still be funny.
The thing that's fantastic about it is it enables comedians to bring their own stuff
to it. You can build on it.
Amazing.
It's a great foundation.
Who's directing the show?
Lewis Wilkenfeld.
The artistic director.
Yes.
Of Cabrillo.
And he's a great, funny man himself.
A swell guy.
I've met him
laughing as much as we make him laugh.
That's good.
It's a symbiotic relationship.
I like to hear that. Fun rehearsals as well as fun shows.
Rehearsals have been. I go home, my cheeks hurt from laughing. And this one, all he has to do is look me in the eye, and I break. The audience may want to come just to see that.
You know, I'm such a fan of Lewis's because I'm a fan of his passion and his dedication to the arts and
He's
what this
incredible.
Guy does and has been doing for many years and in keeping it alive out there in Thousand Oaks and for the greater Los Angeles area. And there is nothing that he won't do, you know, for his company, which I think is pretty amazing.
I agree.
Yeah. So true.
So, Lewis, thank you for bringing Forum back to the Los Angeles area for people to see, certainly. And, you know, I know, Nick, that you also are a playwright yourself, right?
Yes, I am.
Tell us about that. You wrote recently wrote a play, a new play called Real Men, the Musical.
Real Men, the Musical. Yes, it's a review type show, much in the tradition of a lot of the shows that are written for women nowadays, like Menopause, the Musical. And the difference between our show and that show is that the songs are all original.
Mm-hmm.
Those are song parody shows. We just finished a run off Broadway.
Did you?
We were at New World
Stages.
Thank you very much. We got great reviews. In April, we're going to hear about Samuel French Publishing, and we're very excited.
A small publishing house.
Yeah,
it's very small.
Very small.
Yeah.
Small
so,
works.
And I saw the show out here, and it's great.
Yeah.
Wow, Larry. It's great.
Thank you. So with Sights on Taking, and of course, around, would you plan a tour, or are you just giving it to the world to be produced?
We did the New York Musical Theater Festival, NYMPH.
Right.
This summer, this past,
what was
the past
that again?
Summer.
What was that again?
NYMPH, they call
it? Similar to oomph.
Yes, NYMPH and oomph. Yeah, yeah. I actually make that noise getting back into the chair.
What you want to find, what you want to find
oomph,
is a NYMPH with oomph.
Oomph, NYMPH, oomph, NYMPH. Yeah, I've had a few NYMPHs with oomph. what was I saying? I don't even remember.
We were talking about the Musical Theater Festival.
Oh, about
New
my
York.
Show. It's a good show.
Yeah, it is a good show. And I wanted to tell people, I can't wait to see it without Nick in it.
Thank you so much. And, you know, and Larry, Me too. I'm getting too old for this stuff, you know, and it's like time to hire other people and sit back and walk to the mailbox and collect the check, and that's it. And that's what I'm looking forward to. But anyway, where we're at, our production company is looking into Las Vegas right now, since we've already played off-Broadway. We've already done New York. And we have sent out our materials to regional theaters all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And Nick, you haven't said the title of your show yet.
It's called Real Men, the Musical.
There you go.
Some say it's kind of very. It's almost like Jack Benny, wasn't it? The way he
old Don. I actually do Don Wilson.
Do you?
What is it, Jack?
We've all done Don Wilson.
I'll bet yes. You have. I was wondering what that smile was.
Let's get back, though, to funny thing. How about another way to the forum?
Other show.
On speaking the scale of everything you've done in your career, mm-hmm. musically speaking, yes. mm-hmm. where does this fit, this show?
A funny thing happened in the way to the forum is I always consider Pseudolus to be my signature role.
Yeah.
I always feel like it was written for me. Mm-hmm. And I know that's just a fantasy in my own head, but I am a student of vintage comedy. It's my passion. It's where my attention goes. It's what I watch when I go home. And this show is the perfect vehicle for that kind of comedy. And I'm talking a mix of vaudeville, burlesque, Catskills, you name it. All the great comedy traditions are in this show. So I love it very much.
Well, I must say that hearing what you just said and your passion for comedy must make you a very, very good dramatic actor, because I always find that the best dramatic actors are those who are good at comedy.
They both come from
the
same
place. Not necessarily,
place.
Of course, mm-hmm. the other way around. But
right. Very true. I once read an article written by Jackie Gleason for TV Guide, and he talks about that. And he mentions the very few comedians that can't pull that off. But I would say 90% of all great comedians are great dramatic actors. Mm-hmm. Could make you cry just as easily as they make you laugh. But there are a few, like Groucho Marx was a terrible actor. He was just great at being Groucho Marx, you know?
Yeah.
And there are a few others down the line.
And, you know, on the other side of the spectrum with women, Lucille Ball always comes to mind because she
Absolutely.
Was so darn funny. And mm-hmm. then when you saw her in her earlier, you know, film
She was
work,
a glamour girl.
My gosh. Mm-hmm. And such a beautiful actress.
Yes. Carol Burnett's another one who delivers on both sides
yes.
of the coin
yes.
with an amazing acumen.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. yeah.
Can you tell me with a funny thing happened on the way to the forum? This show is obviously not a one-time produced. It's been all over the place. What do you guys try to bring to that role each time you do it that's new or different? Is there something that you can deliver that other people haven't that you've seen missing in their performances or something you wanted to deliver differently?
Well, I think that the show has to grow out of an organic comic sense of the individual actors and the symbiosis of the relationship of the comedians playing off mm-hmm. of each other. So this is my third time doing the show, and I've had great casts each time. But I'm finding completely different things with Nick because his comedic rhythms are different. And so it everything that came before just goes out the window and you just
right.
sit
Which
in the
Which is kind of nice.
It's great. It's so freeing.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It's kind of yeah. nice. And I don't know what – I don't know if I'm bringing anything new to it, but I'm certainly mining what's there and beyond. You know, I think we all are.
Do you have to be careful of bits that you've used in the past not working in a new setting or
yes.
that sort of thing? It's got to be a real pitfall that
you've
yeah. got to be wary of.
I don't know about you, Larry, but I come in with my suitcase full of gags that I've done before, and some of them work and some of them don't. And you know to throw them out if they don't work, and you capitalize on the ones that do.
And yeah. Lewis lets you have kind
Lewis,
of full rein, or he pulls
you
in when you need to be pulled in?
Let me tell you about the secret life of Lewis Wilkenfeld.
Lewis, are you listening?
Are you listening, Lou? Lewis loves the Three Stooges. Lewis and I meet every year in Glendale, and we go to the Alex Theater and watch six of them in a row.
Holy
always
God.
One Holy. Shemp. yeah. And I always feel like they put that in for me, because I love Shemp. But Lewis is a closet slapstick comedy, you know, nut. He loves it. He sits there and directs us while he's playing with a bucket full of toys. He brings yo-yos and squeezy toys.
really?
And,
he really
I'm
does.
Serious, yeah. I'm serious. And in between all of that, he's making wisecracks that are as good as anything we're doing.
Oh, my goodness. Now, is
he's
that
terrific.
Just for this show, or do you think he does it on every show?
He did it
show?
For Girl Crazy when I worked with him before, and he's just a witty guy.
Wow.
He makes me laugh. He really makes me laugh.
Well, something new that I didn't know about Mr. Welkin.
Behind the curtain stuff here.
Yeah.
State of the arts, breaking news as we do every week here.
But he's a really great editor because, you know, we're still at the point where we're discovering and trying things differently every time. And he'll go, okay, let's hold on to that one.
Yeah, let's let go of this, don't do that. He's terrific. Yeah.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about the space that you guys are in. Of course, one of my favorites, the Sheer Forum. We know so many people in that area who are dedicated to presenting the arts in Thousand Oaks, which is a good trek from L.A. If it wasn't there, you got to go to Santa Barbara. So, of course, the Rubicon, another great theater there. But I think Cabrillo is one of those companies that has been so dedicated to local arts. Tell me a little bit about the people you've met there. Of course, Cindy Murray, who I know, has been a good working experience. Fun time.
We love Cindy.
She is regal, isn't she?
Yeah, I love her.
I love her. Yeah. And she and Lewis are a great team with each other. What I love about Cabrillo is it is an incubator for talent and for artists. They have this amazing program, teen program, that goes year-round, classes, performances, and then all of those kids come. Like, we had a group of them sit in and watch our rehearsal last night. You know, they're learning from working professionals. The kids will be out outside of the theater singing songs from the show before the shows. They collect donations. But they're really learning the whole craft of everything that it is to work in the theater, backstage, on stage. And then these kids feed into the show. So I'm actually directing Little Mermaid there later this summer. And we're going to use a lot of the youth ensemble to, like, beef up Under the Sea and our bigger dance numbers and use the skills and talents that they have. And I'm really excited about
that. That's going to be great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
They also, they're very community-minded. They do shows for the soldiers, you know, around Christmas
they do.
Time. They have an animal adoption service during the warmer months.
I had no idea.
A show and they have animals there to look over for you to adopt.
Yeah.
And that may be my favorite thing.
Do they have the same thing for actors? Can you take an actor home with you if you see one you like?
Well, that happens anyway.
I'm adoptable. And I've seen the houses out there. I'm adoptable.
One of my favorite companies. They do such a good job up there. And I think that there is such a value in perpetuating the arts among younger people, particularly in the outlying areas where you don't get a ton of exposure to the arts sometimes. So I think it's great that they're doing it. Have either of you had a previous relationship with Cabrillo? I know you said you're directing there, Larry. Is there other times you've worked with them?
Yes, I've been on stage there twice. I did the producers for them, the Anders Brothers. I've directed Singing in the Rain. I won an Ovation Award for that. And I directed Forever Plaid there previously.
So. And you did all of that without ever having me in the cast?
Whoa. I don't know how that's possible.
The way you young people work, it's really amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen,
perseverance.
You should see the color in Larry's face right now.
Congratulations. I picture you as King Triton.
Very much so, very much. I've got the pecs for it, right?
We'll lie.
I've got to tell you, I saw Singing in the Rain. I didn't know you directed that. A great, great show. Really wonderful show. And I think Cabrillo always brings that to each show that they do. They do it all out. Did you see Mary Poppins, Michael?
I did.
So I think you were the one who told me this, that the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza is the largest theater complex south of Santa Barbara. Is that
south of San Francisco.
South of San Francisco, which is amazing because Mary Poppins filled that space. They acted like it was a theater 10 times its size. It was really very beautiful, and I think that's something you don't get in other areas of the city.
And I think Cabrillo was the first to have it, certainly here in this area, Mary Poppins. I think it was an important premiere.
And always top-notch talents, both behind
and Juliana Hanson, of course, playing the title role.
Absolutely.
Can't get better than that, I think. I love her, anyway.
Oh,
I loved her in that
amazing show.
Yeah, so, gosh, you know, what are we going to say on Larry's intro here? We've been talking. He just gave it himself.
We're so fortunate to have
now
two
guys. Now we can move past that.
You know, occasionally
get up, Larry. It's time for me to use the cot.
Occasionally we'll have somebody on the show who's a little bit afraid to talk on the radio or a little bit afraid to make a joke. I don't think we have that problem today, Michael. What do you think? What would you like to say about this gentleman?
Well, you know, first of all, excuse me, we do have an arts calendar, so
should we do
we
that
need
first?
To move into that
it's much
first.
More important.
Only me. Because they pay us for that.
That's right. Excuse me. Is anybody else getting this dry throat thing from this weather?
I have a little bit
it's
today.
It's like, wow, it's just causing me all sorts of problems.
It's that changing weather.
Is it? But I mean, it's...
You got that sexy voice.
It feels like Santa Anna's today. I think it's kicking it all
Yeah.
Up.
Oh, okay. And then that. Okay. Let's do this for the folks over there at the NoHo Arts Center. Artistic director Kevin Bailey and co-producers Jay Willick and Barbara Shane are proud to bring the world premiere of Sissy Boy to the main stage at the NoHo Arts Center. Starring James Mellon, the true life comedy drama is set to open on February 12th. How did Sissy Boy go from dancer to cancer to living? The answer, 61 years in the making. James Mellon's solo play, Sissy Boy, premieres on stage at the NoHo Arts Center February 12th. NoHo Arts Center artistic director James Mellon and producing director and husband of 25 years, Kevin Bailey, have been developing Sissy Boy for 2 years, but the play has ruminated in their minds from the time 4 years ago when James received his one-year cancer-free notice from his doctor. Mr. Mellon's battle with stage 4 throat cancer gave him a new perspective to his life.
And now, having reached the even greater milestone of 5 years cancer-free, this seems the perfect time to celebrate James Mellon's journey from age 7 to 61, from young Catholic schoolboy to Chippendale stripper, from performing with drag queens to starring on Broadway, from party boy to parent, from dancer to cancer to living with the answer. It takes a big man to cry. It takes even a bigger man to be a sissy boy. Once again, the world premiere makes its first appearance and takes its bow on February 12th through March 5th on the main stage of the NoHo Arts Center, located at 11136 Magnolia Boulevard in North Hollywood. Tickets are available online at OvationTix, that's TIX.com, or by calling 866-811-4111.
Yep, indeed. So it sounds pretty interesting, I think, right?
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, and James is such an interesting man and such a very talented one who also has quite a following as an inspirational speaker presenting a very forward way of thinking and grounded and solid. And he does that also at the NoHo Arts Theater, as it kind of happens on Sunday mornings. Every Sunday he's there and has quite, as I said, quite a following.
Pretty I'm amazing. Interested. I wonder if I can sue them for copyright. I was called Sissy Boy all through high school.
Oh.
Is there any money coming to me for that?
I'm sorry.
You know, it's worth a discussion, isn't it?
Shall we introduce this other fine gentleman who we've been fortunate enough to talk to today?
I think so we should. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is thrilled to return to Cabrillo Music Theater since last starring there as Patrick in the Ovation Award-winning production of The Andrews Brothers, and as Leo Bloom in Mel Brooks' The Producers, which he also played on Broadway and in the entire Las Vegas run. Some of his favorite roles include Dr. Frankenstein in Young Frankenstein at both Performance Riverside and the Moonlight Amphitheater in Vista, California, Sir Robin in Spamalot for Musical Theater West of Long Beach, Albert in Barbara Birdie at the Sacramento Music Circus, and not only as Sparky in the original off-Broadway company of Forever Plaid, but he can also be seen in Forever Plaid, the movie, on DVD. And we are only scratching the surface of his credits. Please welcome the incomparable Larry Raven.
You know my family?
Oh, my gosh. They gave me the wave. They didn't do that for you.
I would like...
You have nice hair.
I would like everybody to take note how much quicker my sound cues are when you do the intros for our guests.
There you go. There you go. Well, that's why they pay me the big bucks.
Absolutely. You know, right? Larry, right. Welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Larry's been a friend of mine for, I'm happy to say, a long time. We've had the pleasure of working together at least once on a musical, right?
Yes, and that's coming back around.
Yes, I understand.
What's the musical?
When You Wish, The Story of Walt Disney, which was an original musical written by Dean McClure and choreography by Lee Martino. We are taking our next step with it at the Phoenix Theater in April, May, and June of this year.
Amazing.
Didn't they do that at TuaCon?
No, that is a musical review, which I think used to be called On the Record. Oh. And the Disney Corporation liked the title of our show so much, they used it.
They purloined it. Mm.
Although theirs isn't. Our title is When You Wish, The Story of Walt Disney.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. No, that's just a review of Disney songs. This is an original musical.
Thank you for clearing that up.
And how great is it to be involved with something that is a first-time effort? I mean, I'm sure there's been attempts, you know, for this type of thing in the past, but this one had the not official sanctioning of the Disney family, but certainly the blessing of Walt's daughter,
both Roy and Disney, also Roy. And Diane, right, his daughter.
So that's pretty awesome going into it like that.
And there's lots of new stuff that we've written for it, and it's going to be bigger and better as it continues its journey toward New York.
So and really one of the co-producers on the show, if he's still involved, is, of course, the wonderful Mr. Pat Boone.
Yes.
Wow, I know Pat Boone, absolutely. I worked with a film that his grandson, Ryan Corbin, had been involved with. Yeah.
He is a lovely, lovely man.
Sponsors a lot of arts.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, he does. Yeah. And it was so gracious, and I had the pleasure of spending a lot of time with him, actually, when Larry and I were working together. I was handling the public relations for the show, and Pat couldn't have been sweeter, having me over to the house for coffee, and I toured the grounds, and it was pretty...
The coffee grounds?
The coffee grounds, yes, indeed.
Just spread them out there on the kitchen floor.
What an interesting...
That's awesome.
He wouldn't let me go outside.
Whoa! Thank you, Murray.
We spare no expense here on State of the Arts.
But Larry, so back to you, and now your perspective of everything with working with this gentleman next to you has been pretty clear since we started this program.
Yeah, I know. It's really sad. This is the fourth time that I have been saddled playing a co-starring role with him, and I'm hoping it's my last.
I'm sorry, Larry, but I think only your death.
What is this, like, sort of bosom buddies coming into play here?
I don't know.
It keeps happening, and I'm really thrilled for it. I can't imagine anybody safer nor more fun to be on stage with. We did the producers opposite each other. We did the musical version of Some Like It Hot, which is called Sugar. And we did The Odd Couple.
I can't imagine you doing The Odd Couple. It seems completely untraditional casting.
That's it.
And I still always quote Nicky. I hear it in my head, and now it's garbage.
He says it on stage.
I do. When he doesn't land a joke, I mutter it under
my breath. He mutters it as, oh my.
You know, I never saw Sugar when it was originally done or any time thereafter, but I did see it in a retooling effort.
Did you see it with Tony Curtis?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wearing his heels.
Yes. Really?
He actually, his pants were long and he had like 3-inch men's heels to give him a little more height.
My goodness.
Great respect.
You know, the curiosity factor, it was met very early on, I think, with about the first 5 minutes of the show, actually, when you see him, of course, this larger-than-life movie star, so famous. And then you get used to it pretty quick, and the rest of the show goes from there.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, it made a lot of money from for its...
I love the show. I really think the show could and should have a Broadway revival.
It's a lot of fun.
Because the script follows so closely to the film, and the film is still one of the funniest scripts ever written.
Voted number one by the AFI.
Yeah, wow. Julie Stein score.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Number one comedy of all time.
That is
I don't necessarily agree, but it is up there. It's definitely like in the top 10, without a doubt.
Wow, we should find those people and find out who voted.
I think it was Billy Wilder.
Well, in all due respect to Mr. Wilder, but have you ever seen it?
I haven't.
The movie. Certainly saw the movie.
I never saw the movie, believe it or not.
You need to.
It sounds like a viewing party. Bring it in. Let's go.
Go to your local Blockbuster and rent it.
What year are you living in that there are still Blockbusters in your neighborhood?
Why, are there no more Blockbusters?
No, it's gone. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to talk over
this
situation.
There's hardly any left on Broadway,
for God's sake. I'm going to go to Bennigan's tonight and talk to my friends about this.
I still have 3 videos to be returned, so I'm thrilled they went out of business. So
I have a library book from the Civil War.
Amazing. Well, I will have to check that out. You said the play. Is it fairly close to the movie? Is the script fairly close?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Maybe.
What happened there?
Wow, bad timing for a drummer.
I had a band member that's going to get fired today.
Okay.
They they always want to get on the radio. It's absolutely absurd.
Why do we have a 4-piece band here?
Because we never use them. We're so well funded here on the show. They just showed up. We paid
just
them.
Just in case anybody feels like singing. Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy. So where are we? I can't even get back.
We're in North Hollywood.
Funny thing happened.
Talking to Larry.
Larry, I have a question for you regarding your previous portrayals. Have you done this role before?
I have. I've done it 3 times.
You know he has.
Amazing.
I did. The last time was at Reprise, which sadly they are no more, but had a great, great time.
Did you do it with David Hyde Pierce?
I did not.
Oh, that was my next question.
I did not know. David Lee directed
this. Of course.
Who created Fraser.
Then I saw it at Reprise with David Hyde Pierce. David is a friend of mine. So David introduced me to Jason Grah, who was also in the show.
That was Boys from Syracuse.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
Also Togas.
Yeah. Also Togas. Very close.
Right. Very close. You're right.
Yeah.
They're so... Oh, I knew there was something wrong. As I was saying it, I thought, wait a minute, but yeah.
That's Rodgers and Hart.
It was Lee Wilcoff and Ruth Williamson and...
That's right.
Ron An amazing Orbach. Cast. It was a crazy... And Alan Mandel, who had never done a That's musical
right.
before.
That's right.
The world's, you know, Samuel Beckett. He's the number one Samuel Beckett actor in his 90s now, and... He had the time of his life. He just loved all those leggy courtesans.
Mm. Was he erroneous?
The goof, yeah.
Cool.
Now, Larry, in doing this show three different times as this character, what's your favorite number, your favorite musical number in the show?
Ooh. You know, it's Everybody Ought to Have a Maid.
Very
it,
nice.
It is. It's laid out, and it gets a little more insane each time that it happens, and more of us get in on the smoke and mirrors that we're trying to pull off, and also we all just get enamored with the idea of having a beautiful young maid just puttering around the house.
So I have two children. I have the fantasy of a beautiful young maid actually cleaning up my house. That's my fantasy. She can be ugly. She can be a guy. I don't care. I need somebody to clean up the house. Are you, do you have anybody available?
We have suggestions. But no, it's great. And the number just keeps building and building and building. It's really fun.
What is the amount of... Well, you're not in performance yet, so I guess this perhaps is a question that would be better answered after you open. But do you think it's going to happen since you've worked before? Because how much license do you take on spontaneity and doing something that you want to do maybe to throw the other one off a little bit and see if they can bounce back or keep it fresh? Is that going to happen?
They're professionals, Michael. They would never
I
do that.
I understand that, but every once in a while.
We would never
veer from the script. No.
The
These
written
word
straight-laced.
Is Bible to me. It's etched in marble. I will not veer. Larry will not do anything untoward to throw me off.
No, I do love during rehearsals, Nick keeps trying different things, and they just fly out all different times. Well... Yes, you have more license than I do.
I have the most license, but Larry has been sneaking things in that I'm Harvey Korman to his Tim Conway. That is the best analogy I can give you. He is just I can't look him in the eye. And you know, there's another there's someone in the show. She plays Gymnasia. Her name's Anne Montavon, and we talked about this the other night. And she has the same problem. She can't look him in the eye without laughing. Wow. He's just so funny.
Well, she was just my Inga in Young Frankenstein.
No. So. Oh, nice.
Yes, I had nice. Time with her to undermine her.
To hypnotize her.
No, it's good. So I do know the comedy will be topical. Will be
of course.
There'll be topical references.
And if audience members aren't behaving well, I'm sure that might come up.
That could be a bad thing.
If they show up late.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the partnership is so key in those two roles. Have you ever had an experience where you've realized that partnership needed to be framed very, very differently? And you go, okay, we can't push each other the way I maybe pushed another pseudolist or what have you.
Yeah, not with the show in particular, but I did have Betts Malone and I played opposite each other in the Anders Brothers, and we had to sing a love ballad to each other, and we probably hit five or six performances where it was really tough to get through the song, and I felt terrible about it because I am a professional, and the audience comes first and their experience, but it, you know, it's that church giggles thing,
yep.
And it got worse with each and every performance, and she's a little devil too because I would try to look past her, and she would move her face kind of down and under to make sure that I was looking at her as I was singing.
She is a little devil.
You learn very quickly in rehearsals who can recover and who cannot.
Right. Yes, right.
Michael, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Can we embarrass these? Now, of course, we always talk to our guests and we always tell them what's coming up unless we don't like our guest and then we surprise them with it. Is that the case?
Well, pretty much.
Yeah. I think we should surprise these
you
two
do.
Guys.
Wow. Really? What does that indicate?
We have a segment on the show and it's called Embarrassing Moments. And
speaking of which, may I just say one thing quickly?
I'm ready.
Sure.
On the way up in the elevator, did you hear the noises as it hit each floor?
Okay, yes. So Paul,
you hear a...
Yeah. Paul Strolley would stand in the elevator with me, and he would time it perfectly to say, "Coffee is the biggest producer. Brazil is the biggest producer of coffee in the entire world."
I was doing the same thing to myself. I was answering game show questions after we passed the second floor.
It's the world's slowest elevator, too.
And that buzzer, it's like, oh, it's like
It has to be at that speed, I am told by the gentlemen that take care of it, because they said if we can make it go faster for sure, but then you'll be going, bouncing when you hit the floor.
Okay, so, all right.
It does make it particularly awkward when you're in there and you're in there with somebody else and you've extended all the pleasantries.
When you're in there trying to have a cigarette and be on the phone.
And then you've run out of things to say and you still have a 30-minute elevator ride left to the third floor. Unbelievable.
Well, I actually love that sound. It was good research for me today for when Nick, you know, flubs a moment in the show tonight. That's what's coming out.
Well, we're going to give you some of our sound cues to take home with you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, we have some that have gone rogue already, so you can have those.
Okay. Gone rogue.
We like to go ahead and we like to let our people on the show come in and embarrass themselves with a theatrical moment where they have been horribly embarrassed.
It's kind of a baptism that we do here. So
you mean my career?
Extra points for nudity, of course. But I want you guys to be thinking for just a second here about a moment that happened in your career, maybe something that our younger listeners can learn from, or something that kind of tells us all, hey, we're in a unique business and there are things that happen, and getting through them is what makes it so special.
Yeah, it can be amusing. It can be serious. It can be anything you want it to
be. I'm trying to pick the one.
So many.
Yes.
Does one of you have one that immediately pops to mind?
Oh, yeah.
I was doing it, Larry. Here we go.
Go ahead.
No, okay, now if this is the same one, this is going to be really embarrassing. You guys want to say it together?
I was playing Larry Raven in the Larry Raven story.
Larry, and, let's have you go first, my friend.
I was doing the play The Matchmaker. It was early in my career. I was Barnaby Tucker. And you come out of a trapdoor about 20 minutes into the first act. So we had to, the actor playing Cornelius and I had to get down there before half hour before they opened the house. And we'd sit down there, we'd play cards and stuff. And this guy was a real prankster. And he did this horrible thing called the nose suck. He would do it to people all the time. He would walk past somebody, he would grab you by the chin and by the forehead and put his mouth over your
Wait,
nose.
Let go of me. Larry!
And just make like a horrible sound, which would just freak you out.
I'm sorry, could you make that sound again? It's great for radio. There it is. I love it. I'm putting you on my board for next show.
So we're down there, we're playing cards, we're out ready to go on. John does the nose suck, which starts my nose bleeding.
Oh no.
So we're down there without any possibility of anything. So anyway, I'm holding my head back. I'm laughing my butt off because it was the most ridiculous thing that had ever happened. We make our first entrance. I go off, make a quick costume change into an all white and lightly colored outfit and spend the next 30 minutes under a table with my nose bleeding, shoving wads of tissue up into my face. And when I finally popped back out, I looked like I had a huge Carl Malden nose. And blood was trickling down the corners of my cheeks and I had to hold my chin forward and just let it drip on the floor like nothing was happening. So,
did it work for you? Was it a good show?
Thank you, John Parra. Yeah,
we got cast
in Blood
Brothers.
You could probably do it again for Funny Thing if you really feel like it's a
cast in Blood Brothers. But that was one of those, you just have to keep going, pretend like it's not happening.
That is my goodness. I can't even imagine. How long did it last for?
Oh, well, then after that act, it's intermission. But, I mean, it was 20 minutes of blood trickling down my face and onto the stage,
When you start to get lightheaded, you leave the stage.
So that's where the word trooper comes from.
That's right.
Mr. Santa Maria
yes.
gets your turn.
Yes. I have two to choose from, but I'm going to go with, since it was California, the very first show I did in California, I was 18 years old. It was at the Sierra Madre Playhouse.
Wow.
And it was a community theater.
It's a lovely theater.
I love it. I was there
to
see.
They do good work.
I was there to see Always Patsy Cline. Did
you
see it?
Yes, I did twice.
Corey Cable
actually.
Is a friend
Amazing.
Of mine, and she is just incredible. Corey Cable kidder. But anyway, I was doing A Christmas Carol. And I was playing a dual role. I was playing Nephew Fred.
And Tiny Tim.
I don't play the ukulele. But I was playing Marley's Ghost.
Wow.
Now, our budget only allowed for me to wear tire chains. I walked out into that green light dressed as a specter wearing tire chains. The lights would come up. I would begin my speech. And I would hear throughout the audience men saying to their wives or whoever they were, "He's wearing tire chains. Those are tire chains." they would confront me afterwards, and I'd say, well, you know, it's winter. It's Christmas Carol. Of course I'm wearing tire chains. What else would I be wearing?
And the show was sponsored by Pep Boys, so it all worked out very well.
It was, yes.
For somebody, yeah.
Manny Moe and Jerk. That's what it was. Excuse me. But it was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever had to go through.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You said you had a second one. We have time for it. I want to hear it now.
Very quickly, I was doing a college production of A Lion in Winter, The Lion in Winter. And I was playing King Henry II, also at the age of 18. And there's a very dramatic scene where I confront my sons, who are duplicious, and I scream at them, I have no sons! And recently they had put up a multi-tiered set. And we didn't have time to rehearse on the stage, so we were very unfamiliar with it. I finished this hugely dramatic scene, the lights went out to black, and I couldn't find my way off stage.
Oh, no.
I dropped to my hands and knees and started crawling off stage because I was afraid of running into anything. And the lights went up for the next scene. And there was King Henry II on his hands and knees, scampering like a rabbit off stage right.
Always a good look.
Always.
Yes.
Always.
Yes. That's when you stop and do a monologue.
Well,
oh, yay, this I wasn't floor there yet. Lay beneath my hands and feet.
I have no exit. No, I have done that. That was devastating.
Well, and you know, since we have this time, you surely have one, Andrew, don't you?
You know, it's interesting because having done as many shows as we've done, certainly you run into a number of situations. I'll tell you why. I've told you a couple. When I was Romeo and Juliet, of course, I had a broken rib as Tybalt and got a coughing fit while I was supposed to be dead in the tomb and almost literally died. I tried to hold that in. But one of my favorites that I told just this week, and I actually thought of you, Michael, was when I was doing Shakespeare by the Sea, a small touring company here that does some great work, and we were doing King Lear, and we'd gone to Manhattan Beach where we had 1,500 people out in the park seeing Shakespeare, many of whom were devotees and many of whom had never seen it before. And in the very back was my little daughter and my son and my beautiful wife sitting back there on a blanket at the far back so as not to disturb anybody. My daughter's about 4 at this point. And of course, Kent, who I was playing, has a number of sword fights and eventually knocks off a couple people and does fairly well and is offered the crown at the end of the show. And in this very serious moment, as the Duke turns to me and offers me the crown, and I, you know, turn away from him to say I don't want it, my daughter stands up and goes, "Yay, Daddy, yay, you won!" And 1,500 people turned around to look at my daughter instead of at me. I said, "That child has stolen my scene," and I've never forgiven her since. One of my favorite moments. And I think it's touring opportunities like that, and certainly you've both experienced this, where it's theater is at its most live. You realize that this is a really wonderful industry we're in, and you don't get that in film. You don't get that in television. It's a strange
one of the reasons
thing.
I love theater. I love when things go wrong. Mm-hmm. One of the things I pray for before each show is that something will go wrong that we can comment on.
Like you might
on.
Say long right. instead of wrong?
Exactly. Just like that. Just like that.
Anything can happen here on State of the
is
Arts.
Is this almost over?
We should tell them how to see your amazing show before yes, we go.
With your eyes.
Absolutely.
Oh, wait, do you not want to hear about my most embarrassing moment?
Do you have?
I do.
No,
I thought this was it.
Dude,
Michael, tell me what you got.
No, you know. I think I've said it too on the show in the past, but growing up in a show, my first ever musical was Barbara Bertie, so I did it everywhere. And
what role?
Well, I started as Harvey Johnson, and then I worked my way up, you know, to
Albert.
Yeah, not to Albert, but to the boyfriend.
Yeah. Hugo.
Hugo, yes. Mm-hmm. So, but I was doing it out here at Santa Monica Civic Auditorium, and during a time period when everything was converted into the round, you know, and Melodyland down south, I had started there. I'd done it with George Gobel, and I was doing it with Dick Van Dyke at Santa Monica, and then Jerry Van Dyke came in and replaced him, and Sherry Lewis. I've done it with so many people. And the opening of the show, as you well know, is in, you know, New York and the fanfare of New York and the kids of New York and going the transfer the transition is into Sweet Apple, Ohio,
of course.
So all of us are underdressed in the Sweet Apple clothes and have our New York garments on. Over that, and we're, you know, singing away, and everything's happening, and we've got, you know, banners and flags, and they're doing. We actually do the quick change on the stage with a strobe light happening, so the runners would come up from the aisles and grab whoever they were assigned to and rip the New York clothes off, and there you are with your Sweet Apple clothes when the lights come up. And the lights came up. And I noticed that my legs were really cold, and so I thought, what the hell? And I didn't actually say what the hell. I wasn't old enough to say that word. And I looked down, and I was standing there in my dance belt.
Oh, no! Oh, I was thinking underwear.
In my dance belt. Oh, my. And I had a red sweater on and a white little collar, and an American flag, and my dance belt.
And ticket prices skyrocketed in the rest of the
round. So at least somebody on that side of the theater got their money's worth, I guess.
That's one of my favorite stories. It's much less poignant when you realize that you're doing the entire show right now in your dance belt. So, which I think we all appreciate.
We don't talk about on the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have some fun, I deeply encourage you to go see A Funny Thing Happened on the way to the Forum at the beautiful Scheer Forum at the Civic Arts Plaza in Thousand Oaks. You can call certainly 800-745-3000. For groups of 10 or more. And I believe that if you wanted to, you could certainly go to the Scheer Forum box office.
Yes, you can.
And visit there. Or, of course, you can visit www.cabrillomusictheater.com for tickets. It's going to be a great show. If it's any evidence of what these two guys are in studio, you're going to have a blast sitting in the audience.
Don't you know? Of course it's going to be.
Yes, please come out and see us. We love the show. We love this company.
And since we have about 30 seconds, I'm going to say that not only is Cabrillo doing this wonderful show, but it continues its season with Stephen Schwartz's Children of Eden in the spring, and Disney's The Little Mermaid, which, as Larry said, will be directing that awesome show. And you can call Cabrillo Music Theater at 805-497-8613, extension 6, to learn a little bit more about that, or you can subscribe by using the email address of subscriber at Cabrillo, C-A-B-R-I-L-L-O, musictheater.com.
I'm Andrew James. Thank you for listening today.
I'm Michael Sterling. We'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen, on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.